Welcome to this episode of Becoming an Elite Financial Advisor. I'm a financial advisor just like you. Our goal is to share insights, to challenge you to get better faster, to reject the industry average path. Today, we're going to be talking with Rick Hugh. He is the top financial planner at Northwestern Mutual. He started as an advisor, struggled, almost didn't make it, joined leadership, became one of the top managing directors in the country, and then went into personal practice, selling insurance, managing investments, added financial planning to his practice, and is now the top financial planner out of 10,000 advisors around the country. Great story. You're going to learn a lot from it. Let's dive in. Rick, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thank you, Stan. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you took some time. We met recently at our live event in Nashville. We'll talk about a little bit later. But I love the path you've been on in your business. There's a lot of parallels. I related to it a lot. You are currently with Northwestern Mutual. You got into the business the same way a lot of us did. You know, it's insurance. Then we sprinkle in some investments. And I'm excited to hear about when you started making the shift to, I think people will pay me a fee for just sitting in a room with them, and I don't have to sell them something. But before we jump into that, if you'd give everybody listening kind of your quick background in the business, because I want them to not hear everything you're doing now and say, well, I'll never be like Rick. But I want them to know where you were not too long ago. And then we'll tell them, how did you get to where you are now?
Excellent. Thanks, Dan. And it's great to be here, hearing your story about how you started at Northwestern Mutual roughly 18 years ago is really cool, since you and I are cut from the same cloth, just different states and doing business in a different way.
I will say, so it was interesting that the best of the advisors, when I was an intern, they sent us to Milwaukee as an incentive trip. And I was like, it's usually not where you send people in January for an incentive trip. That was the coldest cold I've ever felt.
Absolutely. So, background wise, I joined this industry in 2007, right out of a grad college. So I was 21 years old. Initially, I was going to be an investment banker. I studied finance in school, but after interviewing with six other firms, my last interview was with, actually, as you mentioned, our current broker-dealer, Northwestern Mutual. The managing director at that time, who was really good at interviewing, said, Rick, what type of industries or companies are you interviewing for? So I said to him, I'm most likely looking to go into investment banking. He said, well, are you familiar with the similarities of investment banking and financial planning? And I said, well, no, I'm not. He said, well, investment bankers help big corporations make a lot of money. Now, financial planners help people make lots of money. Do you believe you have what it takes to help the community that you want to serve? And I said, absolutely. In fact, at that time in my life, at 21 years old, my entire life path was really told by my parents. Growing up as an Asian minority, a millennial, there's only really two occupations. It's either be a doctor, a lawyer, or a disappointment. And clearly, I'm a disappointment.
Nice.
But when I decided to, pursue financial planning, I wanted to find what was missing, in my life, which was passion, the ability to make a profound impact and help people. I did not see that future in investment banking. So therefore, I decided to take the leap of faith and tell the managing director I accept their offer. Going home that evening, I told my biggest fans, which are also my biggest critics, my parents, I gave up an investment banking based salary to go be a financial security industry. To my surprise, I thought they would be extremely ecstatic. They absolutely pissed off. My father said, son, are you a idiot? Why would you give up a base salary corporate firm to go into planning and build a practice for yourself? And I explained to my father, I said, unfortunately, people in society are not exposed to financial literacy. I'm a perfect example of being an only child when my parents worked so hard, 6-7 days a week, work hard, save money, but did not have a plan. So I said, Dad, I want to help people like our family to, build their future, which is exactly why I'm pursuing this career. And my father said, well, financial planning, insurance, investment, those are products people don't need. In fact, minorities, especially Asian minorities, which is my background, my father said, those are products our community don't want.
Wow.
You know, get a real job. Get a real job. So I told my dad, I said, hey, well, I accepted the offer. I'll give it my all for 1 year. If I don't succeed, fine, Dad, I'll listen and do whatever you want. So fundamentally, joining this industry for 6 months, coming out of training, was overexcited when it came to the opportunity to help my community. But quickly, that excitement dwindled after coming out of training, which, Stan, I'm sure you probably experienced when you joined our industry.
Yeah, I think a hit of reality, because at least for me, there wasn't like a clear path. Like, I had an idea that I was going to sell some stuff that was going to help people, and I wanted to help people in my life that, you know, maybe typically didn't make as much money, where a lot of people were going after them to give them advice. But yeah, I had kind of a rude awakening when I started realizing, like, wait, I'm a business owner. I don't get a base salary. The fear of that rushed in. So yeah, it was a reality check for me.
100%. And I think most advisors, when they're being interviewed, that euphoria and excitement overwhelms them. But then once they come out of training, they realize they're self-employed. there is no base salary. They are successful as they can succeed in this business. There's a lot of scarcity and fear. But I had a vision where I'm going to help everyone and anyone. But I quickly realized when I was starting in this business, I was assigned by a mentor who to me was ultra successful. He was around 35 years old, MDRT, making $100,000 a year approximately, driving my dream car, which was an Acura TL at that time.
Let's go.
And I said, how can I be like you? Literally, I was like, how can I be like you? And he shared with me his journey of success, which was back in 2007, how he built his practice was simply by cold calling. So I said, well, you're successful. You're my mentor. You clearly know what you're doing. I gave up my original path of helping my community, helping people, educating them about the privilege of financial literacy. And I said, all right, I'll cold call. Then ironically, I was cold calling doctors, lawyers, and investment bankers, right? People that my parents said were successful or the profession I gave up on to join our industry. After 6 months, making over $200 a day, I was able to acquire 4 clients and be put on probation to be terminated.
To be an elite financial advisor, you need to exceed your clients' expectations whenever they meet with you. Unfortunately, most advisors are holding very average meetings. Years ago, I finally challenged myself to evaluate my meetings, and I realized they were very average at best. It was not until I unlocked the power of the whiteboard when the energy changed in the room, when I had clients saying, this was a great meeting, this was more than I expected. I want to challenge you to start using a whiteboard today. Stand up in the room, teach, coach, educate, and exceed your clients' expectations. Check out gobeelite.com to see 10 videos that I've made of me whiteboarding. 5 of those videos are me teaching advisors how to whiteboard, and 5 of those videos are videos I've sent directly to my clients. This is a very easy way to improve your communication skills, but also to attract your clients, to attract new prospects, and to exceed their expectations. Go check it out.
I remember I got that dreaded knock on my cubicle. My mentor, managing director, said, Rick, this business may not be right for you. And I said, well, I've done everything you've taught me. I've made more dials than anyone else in our training class. Come in the earliest, stay the latest. I'm doing my absolute all. Why are you putting me on probation to be terminated? They simply said, you know, this career is not right for everyone, which makes sense, right, Stan? I think our industry retention is less than 10% make it to their fifth year. So got that dreaded news, but they were kind enough to give me 30 days probation to wrap up my open cases. And then at the end of the month, they were going to, you know, shut down my contract. Then going home that evening to my biggest fans and my biggest critics, my parents, and being an only child, I was praying and wishing for just one word of motivation and encouragement. And my parents this time gave me exactly what I needed then. They said, son, you should quit. And why I say is exactly what I needed was what they said following that. They said, son, I told you that financial services, financial planning, insurance, and investments is a scam. It's not what our community needs. No one wants your product. Get a real job. And then at that moment, I realized at 21 years old, I said, you know, my entire life was being, you know, told by my parents where I should go and not go. It was like a fork in the road. It's either I listen to my parents and follow their path, and God knows when I'll be a true adult, or this time I decided to stop listening to everyone and I started talking to myself. I said, well, I had 30 days, although my mentors, managing director, my parents thought I was no good in this business, with 30 days to go, I'm not going to give up. But in those 30 days, I realized why I was failing. It's not because I'm a failure. It's because the training, the mentorship that was provided to me was not designed for me. And if you think about it, you and I work with clients. Isn't it true? True comprehensive financial planning, being a fiduciary, requires us to offer recommendations and a plan customized design to our prospects and clients. But the problem is, in our industry, advisors that come out of training, the training program is not customized to the advisor. So me being a minority, 21 years old, less than 1% chance of making this career, none of the training, cold calling, none of those things work for me. The analogy I give you is like, Sten, you're a lion in the jungle, king of the jungle, but you're learning how to fly from an eagle. You're going to die, my friend, even though you're a king of the jungle. So no one really unlocked my superpower, which I had to unlock myself. So in those 30 days, I stopped having self-defeated thinking. I started talking to myself. I started having words of affirmation. But I said, with 30 days to go, I'll design a process where I will truly be proud of, even if I get terminated in 30 days. There's a cliche saying, clients don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Then those 30 days, instead of leading a process, which I was taught being products focused, I started a process which was education focused, problem solving focused. And ironically, those 30 days while I was put on probation, I went from acquiring 4 clients my first 6 months to acquiring 10 clients in those 30 days. I was taken off of probation and I was given the rest of the year to see if it worked out. Fortunately, the rest of the year, we were able to acquire over 30 clients. And I went from first year, initially bottom quartile of my class, to ending the year top 3 in my agency.
Let's go. And you are currently the top financial planner at Northwestern Mutual.
That's correct. We are ranked number 1 in the country in financial planning. But yeah, second year, to piggyback on that story, we were number 1 in our agency. Third year, I became a managing director. So I got into leadership. Then when you were at Northwestern Mutual, did you enter leadership experience?
They tried to trick me into that and I said no. So,
you know, everyone's a little different. You're smarter than me, but I wouldn't say it was a trick. It was my calling. It was my calling, believe it or not. Because my vision was to help my underserved community. So at 25 years old, I became the youngest managing director in the country. And I started with a team of 5. And fortunately, in 5 years, we built it to a team of 50. And we went from a new managing director to number 1 in the country in our quartile. So that was my beginning, humbling beginning, and my journey when I started this business.
Man, there's a lot there. I think, obviously, we don't have time for you to unpack every season of that. But based on what you've shared, there were days where it was like, I got this, and probably days where it's like, hey, maybe this isn't for me. When you started coaching yourself in a different way, because there's people listening right now that are feeling, hey, maybe this isn't for me, or I could probably survive, but that doesn't get me really excited to spend the next 20 years of my life kind of limping along, making a decent living. Whereas when I hear your story, I think there's a lot of people would be like, yeah, I want that. Like, if I can do what Rick's doing, I'd love my life. I'd love my job. If you can kind of go a few layers deep on some of that internal process of when things weren't going well, what was the trigger that did cause you to say, I'm going to not give into the doubt and I'm going to kind of push through that resistance that's hitting me?
Yeah. So I think most firms, their training program consists of product training, product sales. The problem is, what we do, I believe, is not personally a sales process. It's an education process. Clients do not want to be sold. They want to buy. And the problem is, I don't know if you experienced this, most of the trainers for most financial service companies, they never sold a day in their life.
Yeah.
Right? So imagine you are hiring a swimming coach to make you an Olympian swimmer, but that person can't swim or never swam before. That is ridiculous to me. Now, I believe now there are some good trainers, good coaches that never sold but can be a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some good advisors that are great advisors that can coach and some that can't coach. Mm-hmm. But like we talk about average and elite, but the best of the best are great advisors and great coaches. So what really, at my stage in life, at 21 years old, why I was struggling was, although they were teaching me a lot about products, they were teaching me a lot about accountability, like 10-5-3-1 and activity, they weren't motivating and inspiring me. They did not teach me how to think and dream big. They did not teach me how to communicate with people, psychologically understand the person in front of me is not across the table, but be on the same side.
You know, I think that does come down to, you know, something we teach on a lot is like communication is a superpower. That if you're listening and you're an advisor now, whether you're new or you've been in the business a long time, you should be able to say that I'm an elite communicator. Because I have found sometimes the difference between someone taking action and not taking action on the great advice I'm giving them. You will be much better off and you will forever thank me if you do X, Y, and Z. It's my ability to communicate and inspire them to take action. It's not that the product I'm talking about is bad or good. And I think that's where people get hung up. It's my ability to push them to action, to quantify the benefit of action or the cost of inaction. And so I think where our industry teaches a lot about product, we went through a lot of the same training. I came out of that a little more educated, a little better at walking somebody through an illustration and understanding it, but not great at inspiring people and showing them what's possible if they take action. And it took me a while to figure that out. As soon as I unlocked that superpower for myself, I mean, that's when my business started, you know, 2Xing, 5Xing, 10Xing, and none of the products changed. My process internally didn't even change a lot. It was my ability to communicate it.
That's right. And when you unlock that superpower, you start realizing that this business can be as great as we imagine it to be.
Because yeah, which I think then the problem for you is like we don't have enough capacity to serve as many people that we want to. And what a great problem. If I was 1 or 2 years in and I thought someday I'd have the problem of like I don't have enough capacity to help all the people wanting my help, like I would have said like that's the dream, sign me up. But I was chasing people. I was trying to convince people to do something. And like that side of this business I think is not sustainable. I wouldn't want to stay in that very long.
Yes. Because you forget why you're here. If you're chasing business and you're trying to sell a product, you are the problem.
Hmm.
The problem that needs solving is you. Because if you think about it, if we truly can provide education and solution and help and serve our community with all the potential problems that they have, why are you chasing the business? Instead of chasing, you should be attracting.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think many people don't understand. It sounds simple. It's just not easy for most. And for me, I realized, and I use this psychological analogy. Stan, if you and I knew that tomorrow was our last day in this business, last day, we are not going to see any more prospects and clients. And you had 5 meetings today. Now, when it comes to your process of educating them,
mm-hmm.
would you just tell them everything that you can tell them because you know tomorrow will be your last day in this business and provide them the absolute maximum experience with no tie to the result? Probably, because you're like thinking,
hey, I'd want to leave it all on the court. I'd bring everything.
Give it all away. And that's exactly what I was experiencing those 30 days. I said to myself, well, I had 30 days to go, you know, I'm going to leave it all on the court. I'm going to do my absolute best. But instead of listening to everyone else tell me what is success and what is the right process and what worked for them, I'm going to internally coach myself by motivating, inspiring, because that's what I needed. I had no talent at 21 years old, introverted only child. I said, well, I had hard work and grit. Now, if you show me a person as talented with no hard work and grit, they may or may not do well. But if you show me a person that's hard work and gritty and they don't have talent, if we work with them enough, they will develop the talent and skill to succeed. And like you and I become number one in our peer group. So I was motivating and inspiring myself. I was dreaming big. I was manifesting my future. And I was unapologetic being my authentic self. Because unfortunately, in the training program, they teach us all to fit into this mold. But you and I are uniquely ourselves. So I started having conversations with my prospects in those 30 days, unapologetic, being my authentic self, leaning into my superpower. And guess what? I had maximum success and efficiency. Then the next 6 months, I started internally practicing and working on what I believe is the ultimate client experience and process, where today, like you mentioned, we don't even ask for referrals anymore. And we get so many unsolicited referrals, we get so many call-ins, and we have so many prospects that continuously work with us. We decided to transition from insurance to insurance and investment to fee-based planning. Within 3 years, we started with 6,000 of fees. And, you know, fortunately, last year, we did over 500,000 of fees. And we increased our client retention and close ratios.
Love that.
Hey, friend, this is Andy. Pardon the interruption. But first, I want to say, hey, thank you so much for being a faithful listener to our show. And second, I want to tell you about something that we have never done before that we're doing now, which is we are taking deposits for our event. So our next event in person is not until October of 2025. So we've decided to take deposits now for that event. It will sell out. We sold out our April event, and we have a huge gap between now and our next event. So if you go to howtocharge.live.com, that's howtocharge.live.com right now, you can put a deposit down, hold your seat, and then pay the rest later in the year. So we will hopefully see you at our next event. You won't want to miss it. And now back to our show.
Let's go back to a little bit of some of those numbers, because there is a transition in our business now. The biggest firms are now trying to get on the financial planning. It's, you know, we don't want you not to sell products anymore, but we also recognize the advisor of the future can provide so much value, can communicate that value so clearly that people are willing to pay them just for the plan, just for the coaching, just for the accountability. I see a lot of firms still dramatically undercharging for that service, which means their advisors are still incentivized to go sell the product too fast. And part of the reason the Elite Advisor Network exists and we do live events everywhere is like help firms see this differently. What was your mindset shift? Because there's advisors listening right now, they're like, you're not allowed to charge for that. You get paid for the assets, so don't charge for the plan. And I remember having those same thoughts as well. I mean, I went from Northwestern Mutual to Raymond James and all insurance to all investments. And then somebody, you know, challenged me to say, hey, Sten, you can get paid for all the time that you're giving away for free. And I had to wrestle with that a lot. How quickly did you adapt to that? And did you even believe at that point that you could do $500,000 of fees alone? Or would that number have just sounded crazy to you?
Day one, when I was offered the opportunity to do fees, I said to myself, we're going to be the first firm to be a triple threat. 7 figures in fees, 7 figures in FYC, and 7 figures in assets under management revenue. I don't really believe in the scarcity mindset and the ceiling that people possess for themselves, because we all heard this. We don't compare ourselves to our past, our peer. We should compare ourselves to our potential. So when I decided to go into fee-based planning, there were 3 major reasons why. And I think for all the advisors that are listening, here's what you need to think about as you're building your business the way you want to build it. Number one, I was taught to do 20 to 25 fact finders a month. And I was in my 15th year, and I was the fastest person in the country to do 4,000 lives in 17 years. I was averaging 100 referrals in the past, really super efficient. But what I was realizing, although I was doing 20 to 25 fact finders, I was playing a numbers game. I was doing quantity and not quality. But the one thing that really stood out to me was my team was getting burnt out, We were working hard, but not working smart. And I realized that every time I brought on another 50 to 100 new families, I had to hire another full-time support person. So the first reason why I did not want to do the old process and I committed to fully going to fee-based planning is because it's for my team. I didn't want them to be burnt out. Without my team, I am nobody and I can't build the future and vision that we are supposed to build. The second reason is how many of us that are still doing the old process that have scarcity mentality that, you know, are uncomfortable to charge. You know why? Because the products is the value, which is sad. Because the truth of the matter is, we should not think the product or our broker-dealer define us. It's us that is the true value. Clients work with us for us. When they are confident and comfortable enough to charge, they're going to realize your clients that do want to engage with you in a fee-based planning relationship, they're paying you for your advice and the fee to have access to your firm. So people that don't charge, you know what I always use as an analogy? It's like I bring my wife to a Japanese restaurant for our anniversary. I could bring her to a place that sells dollar sushi, or I could bring her to a place that sells $20 sushi. Which one will you bring your significant other? Most of you are probably thinking, if you bring your significant other to dollar sushi for your anniversary, you're probably going to be single really soon, right? But think about it. Think about it. Even if it's the same fish, it's the same chef. A dollar versus $20, automatically, we're going to think the $20 sushi is more valuable. But think about all of you that would not bring your significant other to dollar sushi. You're bringing you guys are free sushi. Free sushi. That's why you're replaceable. So the second reason why I decided to charge fee-based planning was because I realized we were doing a lot of free work, which is fine, but clients weren't appreciating us. Clients didn't respect our firm. And clients today, you can, you know, read about financial firms on TikTok, Instagram. It's all negative news. If I meet someone like Sten, he's going to probably sell me insurance for FYC or manage my assets for fee assets under management. They're automatically thinking that you have a conflict of interest by being their fiduciary. So there is no conflict when they pay us a fee for advice, whether they engage with us in implementation of the product or not. We are currently compensated so our clients can be comfortable to engage with us knowing that there is no conflict of interest. If you are the firm that still do not charge a fee for your engagement and all you get compensated is on the product, with all due respect, I believe in the next 5 to 10 years, your firm value proposition will startly have fee compression and you will not survive the future of our industry. And the third reason is I'm doing this is because of the nobility of our career. You know, I've done research when I was a new advisor. After my parents told me not to join this industry, at that time, financial services, financial planners were top three least trusted industry to work with, right next to car salesmen and every other industry you could probably tie to. Why is that? It's not because you and I are not people and all the advisors that are listening. It's because the process that's been around for over 100 plus years, we're always taught to be a sales process, a product-driven process. So what I wanted to do when I decided to transition to fee-based planning is not be the person that meets Sten and Sten, you say, Rick, I want to play golf and I sell you the most expensive golf club, which is foolish as advisor and for the consumer. Instead, even if I sell you the most expensive golf club, Sten, I'm not going to the root cause of your problem, which is wanting to play golf. Fee-based planning allows us to engage with our clients in an educational process. So I tell people, I say, Sten, you can go work with any other financial firm. They're most likely going to sell you the most expensive golf club. But with us, you engage with us by us teaching you through the next 6 to 12 months an educational process where you'll learn budgeting and cash flow plan. You'll learn your benefits through your employer. You'll understand your tax filing and tax planning. You'll understand retirement strategies. You'll understand risk mitigation and wealth building in our 12 months engagement, where after we educate and empower you, you can, frankly, using the golf analogy, I teach you how to play golf. You can go to Target and buy the cheapest golf clubs then. I am confident you're going to outplay your best friend, Andy, who doesn't know how to play golf and buy the most expensive golf club at wherever he buys it. And that's why I created this process to elevate the ultimate client experience. Because in my lifetime, I realized what is my calling. Isn't being number one in FYC, is not being number one in assets under management. It's also not being number one in fee-based planning, although we are. My calling in this lifetime is to revolutionize the financial planning industry, to make this the most noble career, where if 40 years from now, you and I are old and retired, you know what people say? Hey, son, daughter, if there's an industry you join, be a doctor, a lawyer, or a financial planner. Those are the top three most noble careers out there.
Man, I feel your passion. I love that. I think there's a few things. Perceived value, huge. I think if you pay too little for something, it's hard to value it. If you're listing and you're charging $500 for a financial plan, you know, you're losing money on that, and they're not going to see a lot of value. So part of our event, when we teach advisors, there is a range of pricing that's healthy. You don't want to underprice it, but you also don't want to overprice it. Like, you don't want to try to get somebody to pay you as much as you think you can. The goal for us, and this is where this was a breakthrough for me in my practice, is efficient profitability. Meaning I want to charge the exact fee that they're happy and I'm happy, which means I'm profitable even if they don't buy anything. But then as an advisor and a business owner, I want to become really efficient at delivering that product. Because what I've learned is the client doesn't know if I took 20 hours to build that plan or 2 hours to build it. But if I can, and this is something I had to do internally, some of the early financial plans I did were pretty inefficient. Like, it felt like a lot of work to the point where I was like, should I even do this anymore? Maybe I should go back to AUM where I just have to call those people twice a year. Like, that felt pretty easy. So I really had to dial in the process to say, okay, how can we build these plans so fast that it's enjoyable to do it? Because it will lead to other business if you do that first part really well. You've seen, I think, increases in your AUM and insurance after adding financial planning. And so for me, I mean, if I could choose a practice, if I could get paid six figures for my time and ideas, which I currently give away for free, and I can get more AUM and more insurance at the same time, I mean, if you're listening right now and it's like, that's possible, maybe you didn't know that was possible until, you know, you're hearing me and Rick talk about it. Are you open-minded to pursuing that? Because it is the advisor of the future. And currently, I don't know about you, but Rick, but if I ever meet with a client that has only an AUM or only an insurance advisor, I mean, that's a layup for me when we show them what our process is.
We destroyed them. It's like me bragging about going to my elementary school son's playground and beating all the 16 basketball, right, Stan?
Yeah.
You're 100% right. For all the advisors that are listening, if you have scarcity mindset and you have self-defeated thinking, I want you to go back into time, or maybe you're in your first year of your business, and think about this. I remember when I was a new advisor, a lot of the veteran advisors that were insurance-only people, they were afraid of getting into investment because they thought that by getting into investment, it'll take away from their insurance production. Mm. For all the investment advisors that were afraid of getting into insurance, they thought they would take away from their investment AUM. But we both know that's not true. Because the insurance-only advisors, they realize that the people that manage the money manage the relationship. And the investment-only advisors that potentially manage the assets, if they don't protect the risk, they're exposing, areas of planning where any other firm could come in and help their clients, and then they lose the relationship. But once you understand in our business that insurance and investments, it's 1 + 1 = 11, you're going to realize that fee-based planning is the universal solution. And I'll tell you why. Insurance-only advisors, can you really use your insurance-only strategies for someone that's 75, 80 years old, chronic health? No. Investment-only advisors, can you meet a 21-year-old person making, you know, $50,000 a year, but potentially in 10 years can potentially make seven figures? No. You're like, well, they don't meet my minimum. But fee-based planning, where they're 21 years old, that they want to learn about budgeting and benefits through their employer, or understanding what their account access, how to invest and build wealth at an early stage, or they're 85 years old, although unhealthy, they want to engage with you, Sten, for wills, trust, and estate planning and generational wealth. We can use fee-based planning as a go-to-market strategy for everyone. And that's where I believe most advisors do not understand something that's so simple that is out there. But the one thing I will share with advisors is insurance and investments can propel your practice. Insurance and investment and fee-based planning will catapult you to the future. In fact, we, in the last 5 years, ever since we started, you know, changing our process, going into private wealth, and quite frankly, I was in leadership for 7 years, built our firm to number one in the country. I miss those days because I love teaching and coaching and helping advisors, just like you. Although we don't have a leadership contract, we are leaders because we are speaking on this podcast and giving back to our peer group and helping and educating them. But I realized these last 5 years of going back to private wealth, because we were confident and comfortable and courageous enough to take this risk to propel us to the future, we've been averaging over 35% revenue year after year growth, where to a point where the last 12 months, I had to double my team size and payroll just to sustain the amount of new clients and servicing that we're offering our community. So all of the advisors that are listening, please value yourself. Yeah. Value yourself. And this is what our community wants and need. And personally, if my wife and I met an advisor that does insurance only or investment only or both, and I meet someone like you, Sten, and you talk about fee-based planning, and you show me the plan and the engagement and how you execute for us, no brainer. I'm picking you as my family advisor.
Yep. I do think there's the comfort crisis that's happening in our industry where advisors start making just enough money. And so if right now all you do is manage assets or you sell insurance, you do a combination of both, and you're doing okay, and you're okay with that, you know, it'd be really hard for me and Rick to convince you to do something that's challenging, that's new. But if you're purpose-driven, which you're saying, I'm looking forward in my career to the advisor I know I'm going to need to be in the future, you cannot do what you've done to get to this point. Like it will require something different of you. And I know for me, I always want to solve higher quality problems. Like as a business owner, I don't think someday I'm going to get to a place where I have no issues, that it's not challenging to grow and manage a team. I embrace the friction and the tension of being a business owner, but I'm always looking to solve some problems, but move on to other ones. And so if your practice right now feels stale or you feel stuck or you don't have the revenue you want, the solution is, because this was my story, learn how to communicate so well that people will pay you to sit in a room with them and give them a plan. Pick up that immediate revenue and watch your conversion rate be so expedited, because now they understand why they're buying the thing. Now they understand why you should manage their money. So before we wrap up, if you can give some feedback, because we had a lot of advisors reach out to us and they say, I want to do it, I just don't know where to start. That kind of the put a rocket ship on your progress. We have a lot of advisors fly to Nashville for our live event, our 2-day event. We just had one. We have one coming up in October. People can sign up. That does fill up pretty quick. If you'd give them, because you just left and we got to hang out for 2 days, if you'd kind of give some highlights, you were already doing financial planning. What were some takeaways or kind of light bulb moments you had?
Sten, bringing our two teammates, I brought our director of operation, and also I brought our certified financial planner who helps us on our business and tax planning side to your program, was incredible. I will share this with you. I always knew this. What got us here will not get us there. In fact, most of the time, what got us here is stopping us from getting there. Mm. Although we were number one, we are number one in our broker-dealer and fee-based planning. Why? And people are like, wow, congratulations. You went from 6,000 to 300,000 to 520,000. And this year, we're going to cross on track to cross 800,000. And by the year after, we're going to cross 1,000,000. You're doing so well. And I tell people, that's subjective. So well is your, you know, big dreaming thinking. And the reason why we went to your program is simply because it's about getting better. For all the advisors that are listening and they are comfortable, when was it about you? Shame on you. And I don't want to create controversy because to myself, I'm comfortable.
No, come in hot, man. Let's go. Let's challenge them.
Let's go hot, right? Like, you know, building our firm the size that we are, we have 16 teammates. We're comfortable, very comfortable. But when was it about you, Rick? Right? Because if you're comfortable and I have, you know, 15 people on payroll, are they comfortable? And if they're not comfortable, shame on you for being the leader of your firm, for being comfortable and forgetting about the people that are building your empire, your castle with you. Now, if you and your teammates are comfortable, what about your clients? Are they comfortable? The ones that you made a promise to, that you said, hey, I'm going to manage your wealth. I'm going to help you build your financial goals and dreams. If you were only insurance and you were only investment, and now you're doing both, ask yourself, are you leveling up
evolving to the future? And the chances are most likely not, right? Shame on you. If our expectation when it comes to working with clients is they will get better as we get better so that we can support them and maintain this relationship, which is what we want to do, how are you not getting better while your clients are getting better? And how dare you call yourself a fiduciary? So why did I go to your programs then? Is because every year I spend six figures in coaching, learning, and conferences. Because I believe the enemy of learning is knowing. If you think you know it all, shame on you. Shame on you. We there's so much we can learn. So going to your program, which I love, is because although we are number one in our broker-dealer, I cannot emphasize this enough, Sten. Your process and my process is completely different. Hmm. Completely different. It's like 180 degree.
Yeah.
The way you recommend your plan versus the way we recommend our plan, night and day. The way you have your engagement, let's say 6 months, 3 months, or 12 months versus our 12 months educational classes, night and day. The way you renew your engagement versus the way we renew our engagement, completely different. But what I love about it, it's kind of like how I see it, is the two best fee-based planning firms in the world are just iron sharpening iron. After seeing what you guys are doing, I went back to our firm within 2 weeks and I said, hey, let's make some changes here. Nice. Let's improve here. So love it. I always love learning from incredible people that aspire to grow. And that's why we went to Tennessee.
No, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I want these like little awareness moments where I think I know enough to be successful. And then if you put yourself in challenging situations, all it takes is one piece of information to kind of shake you loose. And it's almost like sometimes it's challenging. I just got back from Vegas from a conference and I came back, you know, a little shaken and like, wow, that information, now that I know that, I can't unknow it, but I need to take action on it. So if you're listening, anybody here wants to like level up, get on a 2-day event and, you know, be shaken up, we'd love to see you in October. Rick, man, we could do this all day. We'll wrap it up. We'll have you back on at some point. But I appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you too, Stan. Thanks for having me. Crush it. And do our absolute best and make this a great year.
Sounds good.